coming in just a few weeks to the Perseverance Theater stage in Juneau. And this is so exciting, a world premiere of a play where the summit meets the stars. And to get us set up for our next conversation, I'm just going to go ahead and read the blurb on the play to just get you in the right space for this. Where the Summit Meets the Stars is an ethereal Alaska Native story driven by music, dance, and culture of the Thlinkit people. When a near-death experience derails her flight through southeast Alaska, Rose awakens to find herself in the care of the kind man who pulled her to safety. But who is this mysterious stranger, and how is it possible that she survived as they journey by boat? Through the darkness and fog, Rose untangles the mysteries of her past. I think that's a good setup for that. And so we have Frank Henry Kosh Katas, who is the director and playwright. We have Jake Wade and Aaron Tripp, two of the main characters. So Frank, let's start with you, and maybe each of you could begin by telling us a little bit about yourselves.
Hey, I'm Frank. I wrote this thing. And I'm from here, Kashaya Ach Said, Frank Katas, Yuchatuasauk. Yeah, I wrote this play, and I have the privilege of directing these two wonderful people in this production, and it's been going so well. I've been doing theater for, I don't know, 15 years or something like that, maybe 20, a long time. But this is one of the favorite things that I've ever done. And I couldn't be happier with how it's going, and I couldn't be more proud of the actors and the work that they've been doing and putting into it, and their buy-in for this whole thing, too.
Well, Frank, I want to hear more about the story, how it came about, and how you came up with the name, Where the Summit Meets the Stars. But I want to go to Jake Wade, who I hope will tell us a little bit about himself and how he came to doing this play.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one question I'm never prepared for, and I never think of when I come to an interview, is to tell us a little bit about yourself. And I don't have the elevator speech for myself yet.
He's reading from the script right now that I wrote him.
Well, don't I lost my spot now? Don't interrupt me. Where was I? I'm from Juneau, and I've been a company member with Perseverance since the Molly Smith days, and. But this is the kind of thing that I've been waiting for all these years. This is really a genius piece of work. And as far as the language, it's as close as my cadence and rhythm as anything I've ever worked on. So it's so much fun. Like, I get lost in rehearsals just getting lost in the words that Frank has written, because it's a beautiful story, and this is one not to miss. Do not miss it.
You know, when you say things like that and they kind of precede the play in the rehearsals, it tells you that you're onto a good thing. So, Aaron Tripp, tell us a little bit about yourself and what it's like to be a part of this play.
Oh my God, the pressure is on. Frank's looking at me. Chashnuk Aaron Tripp, Yuchat Duasauk. I am Chashnuk Aaron Tripp, KTOO employee. I am also an actor. I'm in this play, I'm playing Rose. And the process for this so far has been really great. Frank is really great to work with. His work, as Jake was saying, is really beautiful. And also the space in the room that he's created, I think, is a really great place to collaborate and have fun. And I mean, we went berry picking this weekend as part of rehearsal, and so it's just been an honor to work on this.
Perfect. You both read my scripts. Perfect. That time we could take yours again, Aaron.
Okay. All right. Tell me when.
Take it from it was beautiful.
Okay. Great.
So, Frank, before we get into kind of some of the interesting facets of this play, which, you know, has music and dancing involved in it as well. But maybe tell us where the title comes from and the story that you tell in the play. Where did you get that?
The title comes from within the script. I had a different title called Take Ka, which was like sort of like a pun for not a person or not a human, not a man. And then I really liked within the story some of the they're constantly heading towards a mountain, and the mountain is where the summit meets the stars. So early on in the process, I changed that, and that helped sort of guide where the story would be. This originally came from a residency at La Jolla Playhouse in San Diego, where I went down to go write this play, this comedy. And I was, you know, I had the comedy sort of in my head, but this play, and I had 5 days to write it, or at least get started as a playwright in residence. And then this play sort of just, I had a hard time sleeping down there because it's like 5,000 degrees in San Diego. So I think I was up all the time. And that might have, like maybe it was always at dusk or maybe it was always at dawn. And there's like a magical moment there. At dusk and dawn, and sometimes at like 4 a.m. And this play has sort of haunted me. And like the idea of this play haunted me. And sometimes when things, like I obsess over things, I have to write it down. Like if this play wouldn't leave me alone until I wrote it down. And then after the first night, I wrote 30 pages, and then I wrote 30, and then I think it was 100 and like 100 pages around by the time day 5 had left. And they were like, it'd be great if you had 12 pages by the end of the week. And I was like, I wrote 30 last night. They're like, yeah, do whatever you want. So,
well, words like ethereal, surreal have been used to describe the plot of this mysterious stranger who rescues Rose, who I think, is that you, Jake? You play the – so is the mysterious stranger a real person or some kind of a supernatural figure? Or can you reveal that?
Yeah, I mean, we can reveal. I don't think that it's too much of a spoiler to say that this sort of takes place in another realm, and there is a lot of mystery about where we are, but that sort of kicks it off. I mean, it's not, you know, there are things that I could say that I can't.
So who right is now, this mysterious guy?
That's can what you, I can't,
that's
you can't say.
Okay, oh, wait.
That's what I can't say, Rhonda. I can't. Darn. I can tell you everything except who he is.
I couldn't possibly.
But they share a connection. And I can say that he is more familiar with this realm than she is. Mm-hmm. And so...
So they're in a realm of some kind.
Yeah.
So
like, I don't know why I use the word realm.
Oh my God, I love that.
There yeah. we go. Now we're
that runway, I think.
So, realm. Tell us a little bit about Rose, Aaron. I mean, what kind of a person is she, and do you like her or don't you?
Well, I love Rose. What's great about these characters is I think they're very similar to who we are as people. So I would feel weird saying I don't like her, but
I don't though.
You hate her.
But she's going to untangle her past mysteries, according to the blurb. So what are her issues?
They go.
Where do we start?
But no, she has a. Trauma from her past that she is carrying with her, and this character goes between two very different, like this realm and also a more real world from her life. And so what's interesting about it is like they just have two very different energies, and so you see some stuff unfold and some stuff she talks about from her past. But, yeah, she's a really funny character. She's sarcastic, can be playful. I also think she's a caretaker when she needs to be, wants to be a mother. And she's working hard to have the life that she wants.
So this play has so many other moving pieces, it sounds like, besides the storyline, from what I gather. So how are you going to work the music of Ed Littlefield into this and dancing into this storyline?
That's a great question. No, Ed and I have been working together now for 13 years or something on many different projects. And one of my favorite things to do is let Ed just go.
Now, he's a jazz artist.
Yeah, I think he's just a jazz composer. Person in life, you know. but yeah, he just letting him go, Like, that was the big thing. That was part of the inspiration behind this. Actually, he was like, I don't think I ever want to be on stage or something like that at one point. I was like, oh, funny. And so then I wrote this, and he's on stage the entire time. So, one of the beautiful things about him is his creativity. He comes up with – he's like a mad scientist that comes up with all these sounds and these soundscapes. And he just creates a beautiful, like, environment and atmosphere. And so just giving him the space to just go and stretch what his limits are, I think actually, he probably has no limits, but just to go.
Limitless.
He's limitless Ed. So just giving him the space to explore, I think. And it's so funny when we're, like, going through a scene, he's over there, like, ba-ba-ba-ta-ba-ba-ba-ba, like, tapping on things and coming up with, like, crazy sounds, and it's such a beautiful thing, and it's really magnificent to watch.
But how does it fit into the play itself? I mean, because you got the storyline of Rose kind of in some kind of an accident that mm-hmm. she almost died in, and she's on this, and John rescues her, and they're on a boat journey of right. some kind. How does that music fit into all of that?
He's creating a soundscape and foleys throughout the whole thing to emphasize moments and to set atmosphere and match the emotions of the scene that's coming, because we're switching back and forth between multiple worlds and realms so many times that he sort of creates that. And it's like it goes through this musical sound portal through Ed that helps guide where the next scene is and helps keep the audience, like, aware, or not aware, but it helps influence what they're going to be feeling for the next scene.
So it's like you said, a sound portal of going through these different
right.
spaces and time and place.
Yeah, and just giving him the room to work, I think. And he implements it so well. He weaves it all together and creates such a beautiful thing that it's really fun to watch. My favorite job as the director is I get to sit back and watch all these amazing artists perform and do their craft, and just having the trust, the absolute trust in every single one of these artists to do their job really, really well. It makes my job a lot easier. And that's what I said. I'm only doing this for the glory. And I get to watch
Frank's
them.
Frank's never lied about that.
Never lied about it. Straight, very upfront.
Very
I want
upfront.
You to do your best mm-hmm. so I look good and mm-hmm. take all the glory. That's why I'm
this
here.
But this is a world premiere of a very different kind of play that focuses on Tlingit language, mm-hmm. culture, history, and fact.
Yeah. Yeah. I think definitely there's language woven within. There's song woven within. There's all the elements for performing arts implementing, and there's a foundation within this production. We have oratory, we have storytelling, we have regalia. We have it all within this song, dance, every single bit, these five fingers of the performing arts that are so unique to the Pacific Northwest. I have every single one of those as a foundation for this production.
I really enjoyed Perseverance Theater's last Fun Home production mm-hmm. because it was a musical, for mm-hmm. one thing, but also the storyline went through different periods of time when mm-hmm. when the main character was a child, and then when she became a young person, and then later when she settled down. And it was really interesting how that was handled, how we were able to accept all these transitions. And so you're telling me in this play, in the tiny space of Perseverance Theater, we are going to go into other realms.
Right. And a lot of this
And
has...
how are you going to do that? Is the music the key to it and dancing, or is there something else that you're going to do?
Right. We kind of play with what the concept of time is mm-hmm. and how time is a little bit of an abstract idea and a colonial construct. And so we kind of mess with that throughout this whole production on what time is. And I think at some moments within the play, they lose track of what time is within this, whether 5 minutes have passed or 5 years. And so we kind of play with that idea quite a bit. And hopefully it's clear.
Well, it's a little bit early to be kind of talking about hearing some of the lines from the play. But what I wondered is if I could ask you, Rose, maybe to give us a line, one of your favorite lines from the play so far, so we can get a feel for your character.
Because I travel between these two spaces, I'm just going to say that Frank does a really good job of balancing comedy and drama. And so because I'm traveling between these two spaces, there's a lot of like really comedic light stuff, and there's also more beautiful dramatic moments. So my favorite, one of my favorite funnier lines is...
Why are you peeking at your script?
First you want me to use a script, and then you say no script?
This is my process.
Just for the compliments. I watched Lady and the Tramp the other day and thought it was a good idea. Like romantic, like maybe I could try to be cute and we could share a noodle or something if things went right. So that was, I think that's a really cute line.
That is cute.
Yeah, a little cute moment, a little cute moment. And then one example of like really beautiful language was ribbons of green light snaked their way down the mountain. We whistled more and it was like they heard us and crawled closer and closer. They looked like they were right above us.
Wow, that's a good description. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how about you, Jake? Are there any lines that you're enjoying reading? You're the mysterious stranger that comes to Rose's rescue.
Yeah. But I think those were good examples of sort of the journeys that these characters are taking, because. And I will say that if you just boil it down, it's about relationships. Mm-hmm. And then they happen to be, we happen to all be Native Alaskan artists.
Surprise, listeners.
And so this is my way of skirting the line question, because I feel like we're a little early in the rehearsal process for me to sort of just throw some lines around. But I will talk about the pride that I feel going to work and just being in a room full of my people.
And that's not something that happens very often in theater, does it?
Well, and I'll tell you, I just came from the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. I spent the summer there, and my family came with me, and we spent a lovely summer doing Shakespeare and at Shakespeare and Company. We did Much Ado About Nothing and had a great time. But, at a certain point, people start to come up to you in the cast when they start to get their courage or feel more comfortable, and they'll say, I'd love to introduce you to my Native friend. Or they'll ask me about it, have you read this Sherman Alexie book? Well-meaning people, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus or name any names, but, it's like... such a relief to come into a room at home in our backyard and tell our story. And it's just that feeling of it's about darn time. That's what I feel when I go to work every day with these people. So there you go.
Wow.
It's about darn time would have been a better title.
It's not too late.
Well, Frank, since you're the playwright for all of this, this has kind of been a journey. Like, it's been a long time in coming that there are other things going on, workshops and things that led to this. So in wrapping things up, can you tell us a little bit about the journey that we are going to get to appreciate when it all comes together?
Yeah, I think this started in 2017 at the La Jolla Playhouse Playwright in Residency. I wrote it that week, and then I entered it in the Native Voices of the Autry annual full-length play competition, and it got chosen to go down and get a full, I think it was a week or 2 week workshop, and it gets read in Los Angeles and La Jolla, and then we had a beautiful workshop here in December 2019, and then of course everything fell apart in 2020.
Oh, what
and
happened?
The whole I don't remember. I just woke up. We had like a lot of momentum going into 2020 with mm-hmm. this. Like maybe this will be in the fall. Maybe this will be this time. Blah blah blah. And it just as the pandemic kept crawling along, this felt more and more distant. And then it was like as soon as we had our first rehearsal, it was right back home again. And I was like, this is great. And having this production be where it's, like Jake said, in our backyard, this is where his heart is. And this is where his home is. And this is This is for Alaska Native people. It's for, you know, it's for all Alaskan people. Everyone should be able to see this play and have some sort of connection to the relationships, to the stories, to everything that's being told.
Well, we're going to have to end it there. Thank you so much, Frank Attos, for being here with us, Aaron Tripp and Jake Wade. We are so looking forward to when the summit meets the stars, October 7th through the 23rd. Thank you so much.